Hey, Anton.
Yeah, Margaret?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
Malta with long hair. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
Margaret, what are we talking about today?
Today we will be discussing the documentary that was released alongside the final episode of Young Royals, entitled Young Royals Forever.
Yay! The nature of this episode, being bonus content related to the plot of the show, means that unlike all other episodes of our podcast, we will not restrict ourselves when it comes to spoilers. Anything both of us have watched is fair game, and we have both seen all three seasons of the show. We repeat, this episode could and likely will contain spoilers for the entire show up through the series finale. You have been doubly warned.
Awesome.
Hi, everybody. It's been a while. Almost a month, probably, by the time you're hearing this. But I hope you had a good Young Royals month, Young Royals season 3 month. I hope you had a good cry, like we did. This is our first episode that we're recording after finishing watching season 3 for the first time, and a second time.
Yeah, we did watch it together once and by ourselves.
Yeah, although we haven't watched the finale together yet. Although I don't know if either of us are emotionally ready for that.
I'm not.
Yeah. So we'll wait on that. But we kind of just wanted to acknowledge that and let you know where our head's at and kind of sit in that for a sec. And to let you know that we're going to try to avoid discussing any aspect of season 3 too in-depth to save our future selves from feeling like they're repeating what they already said. I guarantee our show thoughts will change on this show and when we eventually revisit Young Royals Forever, as we planned to do at the end of all this. What?
I'm just thinking about our texts as we were watching it.
Oh yeah, Margaret was live texting because I saw the first 5 episodes first.
Yeah, okay, you want to know what was so fucking rude? I started my new job March 11th. For those of you keeping track, that was the day the episodes 1 through 5 were released. So Anton texted me at some unknown, I don't remember what time it was, after they had finished 1 through 5. And I said, how was it? And he said, no comment. And I said, I'm going to vomit.
Well, okay, to clarify, we agreed that to avoid any, even the hint of a spoiler, I was going to say.
No, that was for episode 6.
No. Was it?
That was just for episode 6.
Oh, correct.
And I did that because when you said no comment, I panicked and almost wanted to throw up.
Got it. Okay, you're right. You're right. Correcting my memory. Thank you. So yeah, but basically that meant that I was one of the lucky few who managed to see every episode of season 3 of Young Royals basically as soon as I could.
Yeah.
Especially episode 6, because it came out noon American Central Time. So
yeah.
So but then Margaret was not so lucky, but that meant that they didn't care all about spoiling me because I'd already seen it, and so they could just live text with me, which they didn't live the text the last episode to me, which I was glad for, because I don't think I would have been able to handle that.
I needed to experience it. I was busy panicking.
Yes. And you wanted to finish it as quickly as possible so we could discuss
it. Yeah, pretty much. I didn't want it to be over, but I needed to know what happened.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Which, I mean, we'll get into a little bit of our thoughts the last episode. And, like, needless to say, you're still listening to this podcast, and we plan to continue it long into the future. So we liked the ending. Kind of an understatement.
Can we talk about how we had the contingency plan?
I don't think we should. Should we?
I don't know.
just to give an idea, listeners, of the idea of the headspace we have been in.
Yeah.
This month, again, warning, I was already up top, but like spoilers for all of season 3. At the end of episode 5, when Simon breaks up with Wilhelm, we were just in a panic that entire week. And we're like, if this show doesn't end in a way that both of us, if it doesn't have an ending that we're both excited to get to years from now, in our analysis of the show, we're going to have this episode, our Young Royals Forever discussion, be our final episode of People Don't Talk About Young Royals and pivot to talking about other media.
Yeah. Which, that didn't happen. We were very happy with the ending.
We were very happy. We both of us agreed, essentially, and said, I almost did out loud, but I think it was in my head. I was alone, so I don't know. But I was like, this is perfect.
Oh, it was absolutely perfect. I was yelling at the TV. My mother came out and she went, are you talking to Anton? And I was like, no!
Yeah. So that is, yeah, that all it goes to say, we won't be covering season 3 too in depth in this episode. We want mostly talking about, this episode is mostly going to be about the behind the scenes stuff we got to look at in the documentary. But we just wanted to acknowledge, for the rest of this podcast, we will be people who have seen all of Young Royals, and that is insanity.
It kind of makes me want to throw up a little. but throw up emotional.
Yeah. If you mention throw up one more time, I might have to trigger warning this
podcast. I think you probably should, because I'm definitely going to say it again.
Okay, sounds good. All right. So Margaret has only seen this documentary once. I have consumed it with my whole body once, but did have scanned through it multiple times to make sure I have notes to talk about.
That was the funniest way you could have phrased that.
I mean, I watched it immediately after episode 6. Like, I don't think you didn't do that because we discussed right after you watched episode 6. I went straight from the final shot to watching the documentary, and I was numb by the end of it.
I need you to know that I did not watch the documentary. You remember how we were supposed to record last week, but then I woke up with no voice?
Yeah.
I watched the documentary that night at like midnight because I was like, I haven't watched it yet. We're discussing it tomorrow morning. I gotta get to it. Because I couldn't.
Yeah, fair.
I was like, I'm too depressed.
I mean, that would have been an interesting episode if we recorded a week ago when you had just seen it. But I think this is better.
This is better.
But not just because you have a voice. I've passed the curse of getting weird vocal stuff right before we record on to you, I guess.
You really have. And it's pissing me off a little.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't happen another 2 more times like it did with me. I was sick 3 times in a row because I'm a substitute teacher. And that's my life now.
Yeah.
But let's get discussing, because there's enough to talk about without us rambling more than we already do. We barely discussed it on the podcast, I'm pretty sure. But like, there was an official clip released that was basically announced the Unroyals Forever would even be a thing. Mm-hmm. Announced this documentary would even be coming out, and when it would be coming out. And that official clip that was on YouTube opens the whole documentary, which I enjoyed because I'm like, that means everything after this is brand new, pretty much. And the actors of the show discuss on their lunch break the story continuing after the final episode, which I've always felt like, I know we talk about it a lot off pod, but I don't know how much it's actually made it out of the pod. I've always gotten the feeling that Young Royals is a chapter of these characters' lives, not just because like things Lisa and the actors have said, but like I just got that vibe, and season 3 definitely confirmed that for me. And these were actors who didn't even know how the season ended, and they kind of knew that like the ending wouldn't feel like a total ending.
Yeah.
And I love how there's hope from the actors who haven't seen the ending that the show they're on will have a happy ending.
They're like, let's see how this goes. I hope it's well.
Nils's actor was like, I hope they die.
Can you imagine what a plot twist?
I know.
It'd be kind of hilarious.
But
actually.
I love how even like Evan is the most confident that it'll end happily, I think, but like he's also visibly the most nervous, which is really funny.
Yeah.
And then bless Omar for being like, hey, Young Royals movie in like 2 to 5 years. A Young Royals class reunion.
But then Edwin was like, 2 years? 5 years?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's a little class reunion. I have no idea what that story would be. And I'm not even sure I want it, but that's really funny to me.
Be hilarious.
All right. And then we cut to earlier chronologically to the cast returning to set for season three.
Yeah.
And it's fun. I think they one of them mentions this. It's fun thinking of them as like actual classmates because they've been here for 3 years, the length that you would go to Hlerska.
Mm-hmm.
And then one little note I have from this section is, I know everyone says this, but Malta is so not August.
No. No, not at all.
Just kind of keeping it, because I had a lot of like sweet thoughts, but like not thoughts that are worth discussing about this section. Moving on to the little discussion that we see between Lisa and Omar.
Mm-hmm.
Seemingly like around the start of filming.
Yeah.
Because he's like in his, he's in his wardrobe. He's in Simon's purple sweatshirt. But mm-hmm. like they're clearly talking about like the season as a whole and kind of the arc that she sees for it.
Yeah.
And she reveals something that I don't think I've ever heard before.
I don't think I've heard it either.
Which is that, when I thought we were only getting one season, the end of the first season was the end of the second season. Which, can you imagine?
I guess I, like, don't even understand.
Actually, wait. I think I wrote that wrong. It's the end of the second season was the end of the first season.
Yeah. Okay, that makes more sense.
Sorry. I completely confused myself. I think I wrote these when I was a bit sleep deprived. But but it makes so much sense because, like, part of our excitement for season three off pod that we mentioned to each other before this podcast even started was the idea, where do you even go from the end of season two?
Right.
Like, it's uncharted territory. We've never seen a story like this.
Right.
Like, a coming out with this much stakes mm-hmm. and then what happens after feels just like new territory.
Yeah.
And it was new territory for Lisa, apparently, too, because she didn't know if she'd get to tell this part of the story. So it's like, she could tell essentially, like, the structure of a musical in two acts and end with Wilhelm coming out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Or she could actually pursue the real question that the series hinges on, which is Villa saying, what is what Lisa says, if I just get to be with Simon, I'll be able to fulfill my role. And Lisa says, and then, but will you? Is Simon the problem? Is your queerness the problem? Or is something else the problem? I'm so excited to tell that story.
Yeah.
We're just like, that's it. That's this season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Is Wilhelm realizing his queerness was never the problem.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we've always, I feel like that's something that, like, we as viewers have always kind of been like, it's not him, it's not Simon, it's his situation. But this season in particular really, really spelled that all out.
It did.
Particularly in the way that it ends.
Yes. And it helped me a lot because I know I've always not really understood where cast, crew, and like and Lisa especially have been coming from when they talk about Wilhelm's queerness not being the problem. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, what is his internal struggle then? Like, I just didn't know what the formula was. Like, I think I hadn't invested enough in the show to recognize what the hell was happening beyond the superficial, where it was like, queerness isn't the problem because, like, queerness is a struggle for Wilhelm because he mm-hmm. has to struggle to accept himself, but it is not the real problem.
Right.
It is not the real struggle that he has because we've been talking about it in the episodes that aren't spoilery. Is mm-hmm. Wilhelm is fairly confident fairly quickly in his queerness.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't doubt himself that much. Like, if he were not Prince, he would have jumped Simon's bones in episode 2.
You shut the fuck up right now.
Are you gonna look at me and tell me I'm wrong?
No, but what I am gonna look at you and tell you is that we are doing the This Week at Hlerska after this, and you're getting the most asexual explanation of an intimate scene.
Pretty sure I have all of the intimate scenes.
No, you do not. Oh, wait. No, you don't.
Right. You get Wilman's. You're right. But I get the worst part of Wilman's, okay? All you get is the makeout scene.
Yeah, you should look at the notes that I wrote for it.
Okay.
They are clinical. Fine.
That's fine. Listeners, you're prepared, although you probably, that will be coming out before this, even though we're recording it before this, because we're trying to record this to kind of get a feel for how what it's like to podcast again, and get all of our spoilery thoughts out so we don't contaminate this week's Hilarishka for season one, episode four. But yeah, but you will have probably already heard this when you heard that. Listen to that, unless you just jump to this and were like, no, I want to listen to their thoughts on Unwell Trevor before that, which is fair. Which is fair.
But yeah, valid.
Or
if you don't typically listen to the This Week of Hilarishka, go to the end of it so that you can hear how clinically I describe this intimate scene.
Yeah. Yeah. This Week of Hilarishka, as they usually do, just reminded me how fucking good season one, episode four is.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
So, like, stick around for a banging season, y'all. Like, it's just like, well, you'll already see what the title of that This Week of Hilarishka is, and I think it works on so many levels, on a meta level about the podcast and about the show, which is the title of that This Week of Hilarishka for season one, episode four is Everything's Different Now.
Everything is different.
Which is, that's true for the characters in that episode, and it's also true for us, because this podcast is now a show run by two people who have seen all of Young Royals, which is still crazy to say.
Yeah, I'm a changed man, let me tell you.
All right, keeping going with the documentary, the power of the show in oppressive countries, something I don't fucking appreciate often enough. The U.S. isn't the most progressive, but like that's kind of an understatement. Like people know what our situation is on the national stage, international stage. But if this show is revolutionary here,
right,
and especially in Sweden, I can't imagine what it's like somewhere where homosexuality is criminalized.
Yeah.
Or where there's like even greater class disparity than there is in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking insane. I shout out. Shout out any of you who are living in countries that I've just described. Like,
yeah.
We see you. We're here for you as much as we can be. And you are so fucking valid.
Agreed.
And then Lisa talking about how fans have got to live vicariously through the romance between Wilhelm and Simon.
That broke me a little bit, I'm not gonna lie to you.
About like people who like had people that they had crushes on in school and they never pursued it. Or maybe they like fully admitted their feelings to each other, but it just didn't work out for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like, circumstances just got in the fucking way. And not getting too personal on pod, because that's not really my style, necessarily. But Lisa's coming to get me by saying that. She saw straight into my soul and saw one of the reasons why I love this show.
Jesus.
Aww. Let's just say your boy was a hopeless romantic. And it's kind of still is, but especially in high school, who maintained, will he ever?
Oh, now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, who maintained?
I didn't know where you were going with this.
Yeah,
but now I know.
Who maintained a crush on a singular boy, whom I have never learned the sexuality of, and never will probably, for basically all of my time in school. It took me 4 fucking years to get over that first big crush on a guy.
I pretended to have a crush on somebody for that long once.
And literally, I wrote so many boy-loving boy stories to live vicariously through fictional characters, but never really got to see people my age exploring those issues.
Yeah.
In a way that felt relatable.
Which is bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, that shouldn't be.
So much has changed since then.
But also, not enough.
Right. Yes. But Young Royals is a big part of why it's changed all.
Yeah.
I
for sure. For I me, also agree least. With that.
Yeah.
But I would agree with that world. Just, like, at a whole.
Yeah. For the world.
Yeah. Certainly for Netflix.
All right. Moving on. Omar knowing the show would work from just reading the pilot script is so baby.
So baby.
That's really all I gotta say. It's just like amazing. Because then we get into maybe my favorite part of the whole documentary, which is the actors watching their first screen tests.
Yeah.
Absolutely maddening how young they all look.
It's crazy because it wasn't that long ago.
It was 2020. Like, what the fuck?
Like, that was four years ago.
We're old now.
I look the exact same as I did in 2020. I cut my hair and I dyed it red, but that's it.
I have different hair, but... Well, actually, no, I don't. Well, yeah. No, I think I have basically the same hairstyle. No, wait. My bangs were going in a different direction in 2020. Because I told my hairdresser what I wanted when I changed my hairstyle after lockdown by looking in a mirror and not by thinking of what direction the hair was actually going for everyone else.
That's hilarious.
So I didn't switch the direction of my bangs until like 2.5 years later, and my mom looked at me and was like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. I like it better now. I didn't really know what you were going for the past 2.5 years.
Your mom's fucking iconic.
She really is. Both my entire family is, honestly. There's a reason why I have such a strong sense of character. It's because all of my family are characters.
Funny. It's hilarious.
But more importantly, the fact that we actually get to see the first few, they say seconds, it's probably like minutes, that Edwin and Omar knew each other because it was captured on screen.
Yeah.
Their immediate intimacy is wild.
It's crazy. Which, like, I know that that's, like, what the read was for.
Yeah.
Like, I know that, like, that was their chemistry and
that's
read.
That's meant to... that. But, like, the fact that we actually get to see the lightning that's been captured in this bottle.
Yeah.
Like, the intuitive trust that's just right there in between them immediately. After Omar was 5 minutes late and has just said his name.
Mm-hmm.
As these characters... and as actors, they just immediately trusted each other to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. When Edwin, like, lays his head back under Omar's shoulder, and Omar doesn't even, like, react to it. It just keeps going.
He's just smiling, like, giddy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell if it's as Simon or just as the actor getting to work with someone who's amazing, as amazing as Edwin. Like,
it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like, they're the same look. Like,
yeah.
But like,
and it worked.
The fact that Omar says he knew that Edwin would get the part, and so he just knew he had to deliver.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Like, immediate trust in your scene partner being like, this is the guy who's going to get this, so I have to bring my A game.
Did we say this on pod that the... I don't think we did. I think we said it on a video call, which is why I'm confusing it. But we talked about the reason why the show works is how much, like, because it very much hinders on Edwin's performance.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about this off pod, but not.
It was off pod. Okay. So.
I think so.
Yeah, we were talking. We were like, the reason why this show works so well is because Edwin is such an artist. Yeah. Yes. And he can carry Wilhelm so well.
Like, this show lives or dies by Wilhelm, and everyone knew that. That's why he was the first one cast. Because the show is going to get built around him.
Right.
But just further appreciating this first screen test, Rajda, artistic director and like creative and like at literal director, I think, for the first two seasons, was like, they moved so naturally even though they didn't know each other, and it's unusual for two guys to be so comfortable in their bodies and with each other. I knew when I saw them together we would work with those two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes.
They knew it so much that they changed Simon's character.
Yes, that is something so interesting to me. Did you know that?
I had no idea. I didn't know until watching the documentary.
Yeah, because Rajda goes on to say, like, she wanted to play with contrasts in casting. And so she kind of goes through, she doesn't like necessarily list all of those contrasts, but I kind of like extrapolated beyond what she said. But she talks about how Edwin brings a warmth to Wilhelm.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, she didn't say, but I think I would say, is the only thing that makes him likable.
That's fair.
A popular girl who isn't blonde and bubbly in Felice, mm-hmm. which is kind of just about, like, what Nikita looks like, I guess. But like, also it's kind of about her personality and like the different take on a popular girl.
Yeah.
And then you have a like privately soft, mean guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or male version of a mean girl, or Regina George. Like you have, like you have, as you said in the cold open, Malta with long hair.
I didn't realize he had such luscious locks.
Neither did I. Neither
I did paused I. it. I went, huh? I was like, no, who wonder is this long hair Harry Styles no, ass?
No wonder he immediately grows facial hair the second a season's over. Like, his hair must grow so fast.
He's got some luscious locks, and I had no idea.
And then you have a love interest created for pop star Omar Rudberg. And, oh my god, okay. I hope you haven't read far ahead, because this is so fucking funny when I thought of this.
I haven't read it at all.
This is my immediate thought.
Okay.
The casting director said, or one of them said, Simon was meant to be quite a big, robust, down-to-earth person. And I wrote, thank the universe for Omar. He saved young royals from becoming a heartstopper copy-paste. Lol.
Yeah.
That's literally Nick Nelson.
Yeah.
Simon would have been a gay Nick Nelson.
Yeah.
And like with Ed and with Wilhelm being like written to be like this like anxious person with a lot of expectations put on him.
That's,
it's like Royal Heartstopper. Like,
yeah, a little bit.
Like, Simon makes Young Royals what it is because it offers a different take on the relationship. And I think it makes Simon being who he is makes the show more, it made the show, I think, more raw and edgy than I think it was initially intended to be, because it brings up more real feelings to have a character that impassioned and revolutionary in many definitions of the word.
Like, I see what you did there. That was good. Yeah.
With Sarah, you see an outcast girl with a stubborn edge. Which really doesn't get, I think it's not really mentioned maybe by Raja, because it wasn't maybe conceived of as like immediately as a part of Sarah's character, because I know she was kind of added later. Or at least for Frida was. I don't know if the character of Sarah always existed or what. But the fact that you have the classic like outcast, like kind of wallflower girl who kind of like blends into the background, and have her have not only like a conviction to be honest, but like no matter what, but also a stubborn edge to her.
Mm-hmm.
That means that when push comes to shove, she goes dark instead of disappearing.
Yeah.
Like, she lashes back in a way that is not expected from that type of character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, archetypically.
Right. I just read the next bullet point you have, and I want to throw up and cry at the same time.
Trigger warning.
Oh my god.
Edvin talking about how Wilhelm will remain under his skin for a long time is so fascinating.
This makes me so emotional. Clarification, that's why I want to cry and throw up, just because it makes me emotional.
Yeah. It feels so true for an actor who's poured so much as much into a role as he has.
And he's poured so much.
Like, just the idea that Wilhelm will live in him.
Yeah.
Just under the surface.
Yeah.
For potentially his entire life.
That's crazy to me, but I get it.
Yeah. I mean, I personally view, in the way that I approach characters for a long time, I've said that, like, I approach acting as entering a closet and grabbing a, like, character as though they're a costume that you put over your entire body.
Mm-hmm.
But Edvin is talking about making that costume a part of him.
Yeah.
Forever.
And I think that's very, very evident. Because,
yeah.
Like, I mean, he's very obviously put so much of himself into the performance that it's kind of only natural that Wilhelm would become part of him as well.
And the closest thing I've ever experienced to that is probably the last role I ever played on stage. when I was playing most the most against type as I feel like I'd ever had. And I really had to find a way to relate to this person who wasn't me and who just wasn't me at all. And I couldn't really fill in. I had to fill in all of the gaps. Mm-hmm. Like most of the character was gaps to fill in. And that level of investment of needing to understand the character that Evan has talked about, like Evan has talked about mm-hmm. in season 2, especially like not being able to understand Wilhelm and needing to sit with him and get what he's where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get that. And also for anyone who at all knows musical theater, I want to shout out the fact that like you can see how against type I was. I was Chip Tolentino in the musical, the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, who is like,
oh, I saw you in that.
Yeah. That wasn't me, was it? It was very not me.
That wasn't you.
Yeah. I made the character secretly bi, but I couldn't make that a really very visible part of the character because he was really toxically masculine. No, thank you. I felt like I did a good job, but it was very hard and weird.
No, you killed it.
Speaking of acting, though, improvisation to make dialogue feel more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm forgetting who says this, but someone says, like, to make it how I think it's Simon, it's Omar, because he talks about this a lot in the documentary, is that he's talking about how you use improvisation to make it how you talk when you're 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Because Omar says, I know how Simon would say things. It's not in the script, but I know what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
And so, like,
they really got into the psychology of these characters so intensely. And that's because, what like, makes the show so good.
Yeah, because then we see one of my favorite parts of the documentary is Omar and Edwin running lines. And Omar especially mm-hmm. is like, I don't know what my lines are, but I know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's so crazy to me as someone who like tries to word perfect my lines, but like it's great. It's great.
And that's in that like particular clip, is Edvin looking at the script or does he just know both of their lines to the T?
He memorized the entire script.
Okay. That's what I figured.
He was just looking in the mirror, I'm pretty sure.
I thought so as well, but I was like, maybe it's sitting on the counter, like in front of him.
Like, it's possible, but I doubt it. I really doubt
it. I think he memorized the entire, I think he knows everybody's lines.
Especially if he's in the scene. Like, if he's in the scene, he knows everyone's lines.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I'm saying he knows them all.
Yeah, fair. I mean, child actor. That's a child actor brain right there.
He knows what Sarah said to August in the stables, even though he's never had a scene with Sarah.
Or very few, now that we've seen the entire show.
Okay, yeah, one. That I can think of off the top of my head.
At the very end.
Okay, two then, because I was thinking about...
Which one?
I was thinking about when he holds August at gunpoint.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
Sarah's there as well.
Yeah. And then, like, he sees Sarah first before Omar does, before Simon does in 3-3, but...
That's true.
Yeah. In any event.
Okay, so three scenes.
But I love how... I love the talk of how a safe environment where everyone trusts each other is, like, the goal.
Mm-hmm.
That they feel like they have achieved with Unroyals.
Yeah.
Like, but like talking about that improvisation and that process, Raja talked about how the screaming in season 1, episode 4 was Walter's idea.
Yeah.
And check out our This Week in Alishka, releasing alongside this bonus episode, to summarize that scene. Like,
yeah.
Context.
I just
for
got
that,
done summarizing it right before we jumped on, actually.
That, for that thing we're summarizing, yeah. Evan's playlists for each season.
I want to hear them. Are they on each Spotify? One? Can I find them?
I'm probably not. They're probably private if they are.
They're definitely like, private.
Each one is very different.
Yeah.
Is so great to think about because I think about writing in a similar way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have playlists. Like I literally before hopping on this call, I was compiling a playlist that's just like, it was like vibes only for like a story that I recently came up with. Recently started kind of doing a bit of random work on. And like, so I think about a lot about, like, I connect with I connect emotions to music really easily. And I love that Evans seems to be the same way.
Do you remember, I think it was between seasons 1 and 2, but he was on a podcast, Edwin was, and he was talking about how he was like, I don't know what it's considered, like specializing in sociology in school, because he figured that that would be the best, like, it helps him, like, connect with people, and he's like, I need that for acting. Do you remember that? I honestly
don't know if I've ever seen a podcast interview from Edwin at all. Like,
I'll try to find it.
But yeah, no, but I totally get that. Like, I mean, sociology, I think, would really help, especially if you're going to go on to play a crown prince. Like,
or maybe it was psychology. I can't remember. It was a while ago. Psychology
would honestly make a little bit more sense, because sociology is kind of like the way people interact with each other on like a larger scale, but like either would work.
I'm very much paraphrasing.
Because sociology is also a common major for like social work and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Anyways, I keep calling everything my favorite part of the documentary, but that's because I have so many favorite parts. But this
I cried during the final table read.
I might have, but also, again, I watched it right after 3-6, so I was kind of crying out. I was numb.
You were numb.
I was nearly devastated all over again hearing them read through it, and especially like what truly made me almost lose it is having Lisa sob while reading screen directions.
Yeah.
She was just bawling her eyes out while trying to make words happen.
I'm getting emotionally nauseous right now. Increasingly emotionally nauseous.
And then, okay, something I want to quick discuss, which, like, we'll probably talk about this endlessly in the future. The initial idea in the original draft of the script is to have Wilhelm look away from the camera at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And I double-checked right after that, the same day I watched 3-6. I chucked the ending again. I watched the ending again. Mm-hmm. Like a masochist. And he holds on a camera.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she talks about that, like, that's not like set in stone. But I think what happened was, or like in the improvisation that they constantly do with this show, I think they found that it makes more sense to have the being with Simon moment transition into a hold on camera that doesn't break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's like he still comes out of like being in the moment, which I think accomplishes exactly what she's talking about. And I think it adds something that she didn't, I think, even include in the script. That I don't even maybe want to say what I think that looks like means, for the fear that I would start bawling my eyes out right now.
Yeah.
This very second. Like, he never leaves the moment with Simon to check in with us. It's still a farewell. It just doesn't involve looking away.
Mm-hmm.
Because that almost, I think, thinking about that happening actually feels a little disrespectful.
Wait, what?
Thinking about a version of the Royals where Wilhelm does fully look away from us at the very end.
Feels disrespectful?
Yeah.
That's to fair. Me. That's fair.
Because
we've been through it.
Yeah, because I think this is a Wilhelm with a different relationship to the audience than he had at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his relationship with us is constantly changing, but I like the idea that we're departing as friends.
Yeah.
When he is kind of hated and feared us for most of the series.
Yeah, he's come around to us now that he isn't the prince anymore.
Spoilers.
We already gave the
disclaimer. I know. We probably already spoiled that point. I'm just being funny.
And this time you don't have to edit it out.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
I do all my other spoilers.
Yes. I want to shout out Nikita, because Nikita spoke the words into existence that were in my heart while watching this documentary and thinking about the final episode and the ending. She calls it a damned dignified ending. It feels good for everyone.
It does. I agree wholeheartedly.
And then Lisa talks about some characters in season 3 losing their stamp of approval from the audience. And I was like, looking at you, my classist lesbians. Because I'm almost certain she looks at Stella Fujiko's actors at that point. Or at least there's a look on their face that I noticed. And then Maddie to a much lesser extent.
Yeah, but I still was kind of pissed at Maddie by the end.
Oh yeah. Like I said, much lesser extent. Like they're not. I don't. It's like that. I'm not pissed at her, as pissed at her as then. But like, I think I'm pissed at her for this. This feels unfair to say, but not being as strong as Felice.
Yeah. No, that's fair though.
I think she's kind of who Felice was a season ago, and Felice has now outgrown her, even.
Yeah.
Like she outgrew Stella and Frederica in season two, but she outgrew Maddie in this season, I think.
I agree.
Or at least outpaced her, and Maddie can catch up, but right now they're not
that,
on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I did talk about this. Like, do we think they would ever, like, be friends after Hilarska?
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously they're not going to be in school at Hilarska together.
Right.
And you and I decided that potentially Maddie and Felice. Do you still stand by that?
I do. I think Stella and Frederica, I think Felice is done with them. And at least I want her to be done with them.
I want her to be done with them.
And I think Maddie has to stop being friends with Stella and Frederica and go through Sierra's character development and reach out to Felice first.
Yeah. Can I just say, though, I'm so glad that Stella and Frederica finally got together.
Yeah. That was deserved.
Like, finally. It was
like,
killing
you're
me.
You're problematic as hell, but at least we got closure.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you're coming from the completely wrong place, but you're coming from the wrong place together, and I love that for you.
And then keep still on this final table read after everyone's read through it. Like after Nikita says that, it calls it dignified ending. Edvin says it's good to like they're leaving them on a place that's calm, and then he's like, it sounds like they're dead. But then he's like, well, they can go in peace. And I was like, they can go in peace, unless of course you keep telling their story on your podcast. Winky face.
Hey, that's us.
Hey. August ending being so damn sad.
God, I fucking loved it though. Damn sad.
I know. It is ultimately what the character and the story deserves, I think.
Yeah.
Also, at the very end, Omar pointing to camera and saying, so, hope you survive, guys. Just saying.
I didn't.
We didn't, Omar. We're doing this podcast from the afterlife. Lol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
If this episode wasn't already had a pretty straightforward title and kind of needs to have a straightforward title to know what it's even talking about. What it's even about? I think I would call this High from the Afterlife. Anyways, all right. Daily life on set is so fucking cute.
I'm sorry. What? Sorry. I forgot to listen.
Daily life on set is just so cute to me.
It is. It's very fun.
Like our little montage of the tennis match, and then like
that was Frida so fucking funny.
And then Frida waiting around for her, like the way that. I'm forgetting Nils' actor's name.
Nils?
Yeah, Nils' actor. Because I know Vincent's actor's name is Nils. But
is it really?
Yeah. Oh, Samuel. Samuel Astor. The way Samuel and Edvin were like giving each other little kisses.
Yeah. They were just being like tennis moms. That was so fucking funny.
And then Frida waiting around for her scene next to Malta sitting on a bench. And then over it. And then oh, in all caps, I wrote Omar... Edwin and Omar running lines in hair and makeup, and Omar forgetting that they had two scenes today. I'm screaming.
Also, did they actually not realize that Edwin was having his hair dyed for the last 3 years?
I think Omar just kind of forgets occasionally until he sees Edwin with stuff in his hair.
But it was like several people.
I love the confusion of like, but you have dark eyebrows. And he's like, oh, but I used to dye my eyebrows a bunch. So like, that's probably why. And he's like, what? He's like, you don't know everything about me, Omar.
I was like.
I love how after 3 years of being best friends, they're still learning about each other.
They're still learning that one of them actually has blonde hair, not brown hair.
All right. And then I love Simon's description of the moving on the evolution of intimacy scenes between women, which is that in season one it was awkward and weird because they didn't know each other well. In season two it was tough because they're besties now and had to create their special chemistry again.
Yeah.
And then season three was just described as damn chill.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, it's like, yep.
And then they're done that. Something that I kind of already figured and think I kind of knew already because I know how closely they work with intimacy coordinator. Their intimacy coordinator in the show. But I love how Simon makes it very clear, like, every intimate scene is tightly choreographed, even and especially the sex scene in 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they know exactly what they're doing, and everything has been agreed upon beforehand.
Yeah.
Which is how it's supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. Or, well, how it should be done.
Yes.
Edwin and Omar are talking about New York.
Yeah.
I mean, Edwin is talking about...
sad.
Yeah. But, like, it's realities of fame, I guess.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it
good.
Okay.
Or okay, yeah. Right.
You know, because he was, like, he said that he was, like, genuinely scared. And, like, that's not okay.
It's, I think it's kind of, it was kind of almost a natural outpouring of anxiety. But I get what you mean. But I love how, okay, Evan is really telling the story with Henry's actor having his arm, like, around his, like, over his chest.
Yeah.
And, like, basically snuggling with him.
Yeah.
And I just, like, love how comfy this cast is with each other.
They're very comfortable with each other.
Like,
and I love that for them.
Like, they, every single one of them is a model of masculinity that I aspire to. So.
Oh, I was like, where the hell are you going with this statement? Because I kind of disagree.
No, like, like a type of masculinity that is not traditional and is therefore better.
Yes. I agree. I just.
You didn't know where I was finishing that sentence.
No, I did not. And I got scared.
But I love how they're talking about having each other there in New York. Edwin and Omar, like, helped each other, helped them so much. Especially Omar with Edwin. And not realizing the true scale of how the fan base was until they were coming out or, like, going into, like, my God, I'm blanking on his fucking name. What is the late night host that they saw? Jimmy Fallon? Jimmy Fallon, thank you. like, until, like, they were, like, either walking in or walking out of, like, the stage of
Jimmy Fallon. Because there was, like, a shitload of people there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the bulk of the rest of the documentary is filming the last episode, which, as it should have been. Like, this was what we came here for. Like, Lisa talking about how long it's taken for Villa to get here, as Edwin does a cheeky shrug to the camera getting into the motorcade. Like, he's getting into the car ready to film the scene where he abdicates, and he just does a little cheeky shrug and winks at the almost winks at the camera, and it's just so
it's so baby.
He's
so baby.
And then Omar asking already how soon they're gonna work together again.
He was like, do we have to pretend to hate each other?
are we gonna be enemies in the next one?
Well, okay, I think I sent you this, but there was a podcast recently where he was talking about how him and Edwin have a secret project.
We talked about this off pod, but I have no idea what it could be.
I don't either. And part of me is a little worried that he was talking about the documentary and that was, like, recorded before the documentary was announced.
I kind of doubt it, but possibly. I don't know.
But I kind of doubt that as well, but that just makes me very excited.
It feels like a separate project, but anyways. Also, shout out.
Very excited for it.
The recent revelation on Lisa's story on Instagram that her storytelling brain might be moving to a story that takes place in the U.S., which, selfishly, we are very excited about. Because we want her to fucking drag us.
We do.
Like, we deserve to be dragged by Lisa and Bjorn.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm not ready, but I'm ready. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can I emotionally take another story written by Lisa? No, but do I need it? Yes.
Yeah, speaking of, I will say something that's basically come my catchphrase at this point because it's true. I cannot properly exist without angst.
Sometimes.
Speaking of Lisa crying at the final hug and kissing, fuck me.
tears.
And then Frida not having her driver license yet kills
me. She almost couldn't be in the car for the last scene.
Yeah. She couldn't be driving it.
She couldn't be driving it, but she was like, I had to be in it.
Yeah. And then Omar being so chill about being in the final shot, about not being in the final shot. And then Edvin filming the final shot. And then they're both screaming into the camera.
Yeah.
As soon as they're done, me for real. Just like me for real. And then Frida saying, now these characters can live lives on their own and it doesn't have to be so dramatic.
That was so real.
Sort of relating back to Frida saying their lives won't have to be so dramatic. We do hope that you, dear listener, are willing to stay on this journey with us, knowing that we all have a happy ending like this one to look forward to years from now.
Yeah. Please do.
Yes.
It's going to be sad if we're doing this for nobody.
I Margaret doesn't know this. I saw a comment today on our Instagram about someone who just started our podcast and saying it was the kind of in-depth analysis that like they didn't even know they needed, and they're so excited for us to analyze the rest of the series.
Really?
A comment on like our most recent post, on our most recently post on our feed, and they even said, and this is what really got me. Like I almost teared up at this. So listener, know that if you're listening to this episode, eventually, like, your username has something to do with a forest, like knowing forest hearing the trees or something like that. So who you are. Like you saying that even after you're done with Young Royals, that we could move on to another media, and you think a lot of the people listening to this pod would follow us to talking about other stuff. That's everything I've ever wanted for this podcast. You reading it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aww.
I know.
That's so baby.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know your actual name, but thank you so much. I hope you keep listening. Thank you for finding our podcast, and thank you for saying nice words and saying you'll keep listening. In any event, we should keep going on this podcast, this episode of the podcast. I love how Nikita keeps coming back to leaving the character with dignity, because that's really what it feels like, especially with Felice, but like with everyone. Like even August sort of leaves with dignity in a way that was never expected to me.
We're not talking about season three that much in depth. However, I do have to say I never expected to almost have an August redemption arc.
Yeah.
That felt genuine.
Yeah, and it was an almost arc that was impressive in and of itself.
Yeah.
And it was also honestly more impressive the restraint to not make it a full-on redemption arc. Because we kind of would have rioted, not gonna lie, I think.
Yeah, a little bit.
Unless, like, we had a whole other ass season, maybe. But even then, I don't know if I want another season of August. I'm kind of done with him now.
I would take another season of August if it gave me another season of Wilhelm.
Well, that's fair.
That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
And then playing Simon's song over a montage and a montage of like basically every Wilhelm scene, and then the final scene that they shot of the entire show is so rude.
Like, just kill me. It'll hurt less.
End me.
Like, I don't have therapy for another 2 weeks. What are you doing? This is Edwin irresponsible.
And then Edwin and Omar shouting, "It's a wrap," into a megaphone.
That was fun. I liked that.
That was very fun. But it was still happening under Simon's song, which was rude.
It was rude, but I could ignore that for how fun that was. But yeah. Then I couldn't process my emotions
because then we end with Edmund and Omar addressing the camera together, thanking us for watching and saying like all the love of the world. And then over the credits, and then afterwards, like smash cut from the credits to Edvin in like a post-credit scene thanking Omar for being a friend.
I couldn't process my emotions for that. I was like, just fucking kill me.
Like, literally, I wrote fucking end me already. Like, I...
Yeah. Just
like, you know what you're doing. And my God.
Begging.
Like, this was such a loving documentary for this show.
It was. And rightfully so. It's what we needed.
And honestly, Crack Theory, I think it's part of why the post-production on season 3 took longer than for previous seasons.
Probably.
Because, like, they were kind of working on this concurrently, I would imagine. And I don't care if it gave us this. I don't care if that's why it took a little longer. It gave us more time to finish cycle 103 of the podcast. So
it did.
We will revisit, as mentioned, we will revisit Young Royals Forever. We're not leaving this forever. That was a clunky way of saying that. But
I liked it.
We will revisit this documentary again for the final cycle of our Young Royals series of the podcast. When our specific thoughts may have changed. But I'll never stop having love for this show. Especially with the love it was clearly made with and the love it clearly has for its audience and the way it ended.
Yeah. So stick with us and keep loving the show right along with us.
Yeah. If you listened to this...
Maybe like in the pod.
Yeah. If you listened to this before this week of Lishka for season 1 episode 4, go ahead and listen to that. I don't know why I'm doing a call to action before our call to action, but you know. And then if you are listening to this after you listen to this week of Lishka, or you're skipping this week of Lishka, because that's kind of valid too, but also we do put a lot of work out of that. not shaming you,
if
just
says fuck you if you don't listen to that one.
No, not stating a fact, but I'm just saying, I mean, I know we haven't talked about it before. Well, we haven't talked about it in a while, but we do consider the people who listen to this Real Ishka the real ones, and know
we
that.
We do.
And so, yeah. But if you caught up with our entire podcast, stick around. You know the drill by now. Revolution's coming. All right. Ready to take us out, Margaret?
I sure am. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other pod-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram at People Don't Talk About. I can say what our next episode is going to be. It's going to be Revolution of 1-4.
Yep.
We're going to have a lot to talk about, so tune in.
Oh, yeah. That might be another multi-part revolution, almost certainly.
Hey, the people are fake. We
You just literally almost choked me through the screen.
Good. Listen to the
end.
It's
gonna sound so ugly on recording. Anyways,
leave it in.
I probably please will, leave it in. I just said that.
Please leave it
and
in.
We're saying this now.
Please leave this in. Don't edit all any right. of this outro out.
All right.
And with that, all that's left to say is, let's start a revolution, baby. The fact that we picked that to be our outro before the end of season 3 came out, and we could see Revolution in all of its glory. Huh. Were we in Lisa's mind?